Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. We're nearly at the end. Boo-hoo. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
From England's point of view, we were at the end a long time ago. All right.
Barely started, didn't we, Pete Donaldson?
We have barely started. We've just started the show, though. Is this the shortest period in between shows we've ever done?
It could be.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
It's under 24 hours.
Yeah.
Sick of the sight of you lot. Look forward to a holiday next week.
All right, so...
Right, okay, let's do it, all right? Yeah. Let's get you off on that
side. Hang on a minute, let's do it if it's not too much trouble for Pete. I don't want to put the guy out
if you want.
You know, because it's uncomfortable and someone doesn't want to be here.
Well, you know, I've got a championship league to look forward to.
What I mean by that
in a few weeks' time.
If Pete can get away with not being here, I'd quite like to leave as well.
Okay.
It's lovely to see you, of course, guys.
But you are off on holiday, Pete, a bit of holiday.
I've actually got a dentist appointment, guys, so I'm just going to shuffle off.
Okay, well...
Have you got this, Marcus? Can you do this yourself? Is this all right?
Little little bit of advice on your holiday, Peter. Make sure you're there for the flight.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big
what? I missed one flight once.
Yeah, because you left your passport at home.
Uh-huh. Right. But, you literally didn't get on a flight within about 3 days of now. So.
Because it was cancelled. Yeah. It was French air traffic control being...
No, mate. Imagine it. I'm doing it. I don't care. I'm still doing it. Where's the plane? There must be a plane here. Where is it?
I'll fly it myself.
Call yourself a dreamer, Marcus.
I'm doing it because if I don't, Dawson's going to give me pelters. I can't have it.
Get on that flight.
Anyway, the reason we're all here is to celebrate Germany's timely exit from the competition.
Call yourself a dreamer. Yeah. Yogi Love. Oh, my goodness. 2-0. Griezmann took his tally to 6 for the tournament. Very rare
I reckon that
a player gets to that tally.
First time in ages it's been over 5 goals. I reckon Yogi Love sort of went home and consoled himself with a good old scratch.
Well, this is it, isn't it?
Behind closed doors.
This is a disaster for Yogi Love, because this now, officially, is just going to be remembered for Germany as a tournament where he scratched his bum and then sniffed it.
And his nuts.
And his nuts,
don't let him get away with it.
Sorry.
I think he picked his nose
so
as well.
So much to get in.
Did he pick his...
This is getting very, very
toilet
humour.
Oh, I punched a member of staff.
If I googled Yogi Love, pick nose, he definitely did it in the last couple of years. I'm almost certain he also did it at this competition.
Might I request that your own individual personal googling remains in your home and doesn't.
Marcus, look, you say that, but Yogi Love has opened this door, isn't he?
Yeah.
By scratching his balls and his bum on
stage. People
are going to start.
We must move on.
Like googling what else he's doing.
Griezmann, he's going to win the Golden Boot, Jim.
He's very, very short priced off to do so. And rightly so. But he was fantastic last night.
He said a lovely quote after the game. He said, "We're like little kids enjoying it all."
Great. Great to see.
And you saw that after the final whistle, the way the French celebrated.
Can't condone them stealing the Iceland celebration. The Icelandic FA on Twitter tweeted like something along the lines of, "Get your own celebration for
us." Yeah, I'd be furious.
I think that one's out of the bag now, though, isn't it? Everyone's going to start
Never anger a Viking, though. That's going to come back to bite you on the...
Which Premier League team do you think is going to nick it next season?
It'll be Man City.
It'll be Chelsea.
I was going to say Crystal Palace.
Okay.
No, because City, they Pardew stole the Poznan, didn't they?
They did. And then they moaned and said, "Why have you stolen our Poznan?" It's called the Poznan. Yeah.
It's named after the plagiarism, basically. Swansea could do it.
Teams do this all the time. You know, the Will Griggs on fire wasn't the Northern Ireland
fire. But it's how chance work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
like,
you know.
How chance work with Jim Campbell.
It's very short.
Ironic, being an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, well, it's got a question mark on it.
Yeah.
That famous Arsenal murmur.
Yeah.
But Griezmann getting 6 goals. You have to go back to 1984 when Michel Platini scored 9 goals.
In 5 games.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Insane.
Yeah. It really was. And now look what he's become.
Not even here to see it.
No. It really is.
It's almost like he did some sort of deal with the devil.
Yeah.
I'll take 9 goals now and we'll see how it goes.
As he's banned from all football activity, does he have to, like, I don't know, wear an electronic tag that scrambles any TVs near so he can't even watch it?
And on the electronic tag on his ankle, if he swings his foot through over a certain pace, the tag thinks he's kicking a football and it blasts his foot off.
Fair enough.
Yeah. As he wouldn't say.
Yeah.
FIFA caught.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The man who thought up Running Man is very jealous of that idea. Milan Baros got 5 in 2004. Whereas in previous tournaments, 3 goals and 4 goals were enough to win that Golden Boot. But Griezmann, hey, what a magnificent tournament, Jimmy. Yeah. He's done it largely in the knockout game.
Absolutely, because he did start relatively slowly because he was played in a position that wasn't maybe, you know, best suited to his strengths. But he was excellent yesterday, and France were in general. And it's the way the game finished was so different from the way it began, in a sense, because they flew out of the blocks, France, but then within about 5 minutes, Germany really did have an absolute stranglehold on it for most of that first half.
Germany were
great. It looked
like
there was only one winner.
Yeah.
Do you not think that during that first half, you're like, if France get one goal, Germany are in trouble, because they were so blunt up top.
Yeah.
Mario Gomez is such a big such a big miss. Whoever got in front in that match was going to win it, and France did it.
You're right, they controlled
the penalty.
You're right, they controlled the game, but they just couldn't execute their
so
plan,
blunt up top.
Yeah. But it is fair to say, though, that a France penalty came a little bit as a surprise. The commentators were very surprised when France got a penalty.
It was a penalty.
It was a great call from the ref as well. We did well to see that.
It's a strange one. Two very sloppy penalties given away by Germany.
But Rio Ferdinand made a good point. He's clearly just panicking, and he just leans in and his arm goes out because he just wants to get something on the player, and it just so happens that it bounces off his hand.
For such an experienced player to do that, and such a quality player.
He's not had a great season, Marcus.
People say this about about teams all the time, you've got to look at the manager. Obviously, an unnecessary handling of the ball is something that has, that's come from up top, and it's, you know, it's they're made in the manager's image, aren't they?
Yeah.
I take the rest of the afternoon off, Jim.
I thought he might have... No, seriously, do. I think he might have sort of got a little bit... Came a bit late to challenge him for the ball and tried to give himself so much momentum that he got his arm right up there in a completely unnatural position. Yeah. And, of course, it ended up being a handball.
It's a shame, because Schweinsteiger was having a great game.
In another era, it probably wouldn't have been a penalty before the sort of unnatural position rule came to the fore a bit more. He might have been given the benefit of the doubt, but by the rules, it was a penalty.
Yeah, true enough. I tell you something, Samuel Umtiti being drafted in against Iceland for France at the back, because they've had their worries at centre-back, because obviously Varane and Saka, as we mentioned last time around, and as everybody's well aware, that they're not at the tournament, and one or two others. Rami drafted in. Rami, I mean, I was surprised he was in any fit shape to play in the tournament, because Sevilla won the Europa League. That was pretty much his season done and dusted. He would have gone on the tear up after that, probably on holiday, and then it was like, oh, you're in the squad. Oh, right, all that stuff I said about Deschamps not picking me. But he is a bit of banter.
He is a bit like a Terminator, though, isn't he?
He is a bit like a Terminator. So he was dropped or wasn't picked for whatever reason, and then Samuel Umtiti came in against Iceland, because I think was Rami suspended, perhaps, and Umtiti was possibly at fault for both Iceland goals.
Well, I thought that yesterday. The day is a long time in a European Championship.
Right.
Yesterday, I sort of got. Okay, I didn't quite fully slate him, but I came towards thinking about slating him on the show we did yesterday, and I didn't think he would get the nod last night.
It was a surprise
because, as you say, as you touched on, Marcus, they beat Iceland fairly easy, but they still conceded two goals.
Mm. Yeah,
and he didn't shower himself on a huge amount of glory. But I must say, yesterday he played very well. He was decent.
It was a fantastic performance from him. I mean, I think he's been signed by Barcelona for a hefty fee.
Obviously.
So he's obviously a very talented young man. But my goodness, to go into a game like that against Germany, that is a risk. And people would have been looking at Deschamps going, you could really be
doing yourself a mischief.
You could be the new Jeremy Mathieu. You could be the new Thomas Vermaelen.
Well,
his
career could have hinged on that. Because if he'd have been torn apart... Which probably helped without having a Mario Gomez or somebody.
Marcus, if he had a terrible game against Germany, Barcelona would have liked it because they hate signing centre backs.
Yeah. Well, no, but I'm talking about Deschamps specifically.
True.
Deschamps, he's been a funny one because he has changed it around a little bit tactically, as you said, with Griezmann and one or two other bits and pieces. But I think talking to some people, they're not sure if he's slightly got a bit fortunate. The feeling is that he's not a tactical genius, Didier Deschamps. He's kind of a bit of trial and error and so on. But
he's of that water generation, wasn't he? Really, he's not that generation of football managers aren't really sort of thought as these great thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Mind you, Patrick Vieira got another win for New York City FC. You know, thanks to Frank Lampard.
That's your team now, isn't it?
There we are.
But do you remember at the start of this Euro 2016 tournament, everyone was sort of saying there's a lot of poor defensive sides, and France were kind of putting at that. It doesn't really matter because no one attacked. No one's been attacking during the whole thing. It's been such a defensive tournament.
It has been, and who was saying that? It was Yogi Love and one of the German players. Was it Hovedes? I forget which one it was. But basically saying, well, 24 teams is too much for this tournament. We should go back to 16 teams, and there's been less quality. And the quote was something like, this tournament wasn't as good as we'd hoped for. And I'm thinking, if you'd have won the tournament... Yeah.
Marcus, if there's probably only one or two teams that could get away with saying that.
Sure.
I think England would like to see it reduced to one team.
Yeah. Well, England don't want poorer quality because then it's more embarrassing when they beat us. Because if France or Germany knock us out, that's fair enough.
There'll be a way that it's an outrage. But we're happier with that than we are.
Those three penalties we conceded, only two of them should have been given.
If the tournament was reduced to one team, England would have a decent chance of finishing the top four.
Yeah. I'd be happy with the silver medal.
With the first half, do you guys think that France were actually intentionally sitting deep and soaking up the German pressure? Because, they flew out of the blocks, and then in the second half they did exactly the same thing, then sat off a little bit, let Germany sort of huff and puff, and then got the goal on the break. It looked a bit like Germany were just fully in control of it and France couldn't really do much about it. But then as the pattern started to emerge, I wonder if the French sort of invited that on a bit, knowing that they didn't have Gomez and knowing they were a bit blunt.
I'm not sure. I think you maybe giving them a slight benefit of the doubt. You could be right there, but I think that Germany, the way they took hold of that midfield, Toni Kroos, what a player he is.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He reminds me of Xavi in the way he's just sort of always there buzzing around, just distributing passes.
Yeah, that, I mean, obviously him and Modric link up well at Real Madrid, and they're similar types of players in the sense that they control a midfield and just pass. But I think you're right. France really tried to go at them with home support and with trying to go at that German backline with their attack. I mean, Giroud might have done better with a chance in the first half when he sort of...
He just looks so slow, didn't he?
I mean, but slip it across to Griezmann.
Yeah, but he didn't even look up, did he? That's the thing. You get the impression he never even knew Griezmann was there.
If you're Olivier Giroud, always assume Griezmann is on hand.
It was a very selfish piece of work. To be fair, he scored a couple more goals than we expected.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Because he's had the crowd on his back. So in a situation like that, it becomes so clear that the players either thinking, you know, I can make myself a hero here and shut everyone up, or, you know, I guess I could think about passing it to Griezmann, but he's not done that.
He didn't lift his head up the whole time, did he?
Yeah, no.
He's actually 9-2 to score the first goal in the final with Bet365. So £10 that returns you £55, including your stake. So
that's well worth it.
Makes it enough tournament.
He played a part in the second goal too, because Neuer obviously
Griezmann.
Giroud, because Neuer had Giroud to deal with, and that was part of the reason he couldn't get a good hand on the ball.
He tried to flap him out the way.
Pogba was great for that.
That was unbelievable.
He was so good. That bit of skill. Yeah, it's great.
That's worth $100 million. Yeah, just to watch that.
If you're listening, United.
But after that goal went in, though, you just sort of got the feeling that Germany never have to chase games.
Yeah.
They're just not used to doing it anymore. So they're just like, what do we do? I don't know how to get the ball in the net.
Well, I think what they did is they did what I personally think they should have done, which is just stuck to their plan. Because after the first goal...
Nice triangles
They probably went into half-time thinking, well, OK, that's annoying, but... We controlled the game. I mean, we just got to keep doing what we're doing. It's going to come. And to be fair to them, they had chances. I mean, they hit the post. Kimmich, who looks a good player, hit the post.
Oh, that was a beautiful shot.
Lloris made a brilliant save. They had the chances to. I mean, on another day, I know we do say this quite a lot on the show, and that's the nature of football. But on another day, they would have had a couple.
You would say on the basis of last night, France. Not lucky to get through, but they were a bit fortunate. The penalty decision was huge. But I would suggest that Germany are probably the better side overall. I mean, Yogi Love certainly thought that. I mean, Germany had a tougher run before the semi-final, which maybe could have slightly taken its toll. They went all the way to penalties against Italy. They had a tougher group than France. France really had a lovely old time against Iceland. You know, with some players, the confidence they would have got from that game, and the lack of really having to exert themselves would have done them a great service for that.
You said hubris got them through. Hubris got them to the final.
Is he their left back?
I love the
hubris.
I love the scenes on by the Eiffel Tower. Oh, yeah, part. Yeah. Did they say how many people they thought were there?
50.
I thought it was probably at least probably about 100 million.
Yeah, probably.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, more than 100, certainly.
Gorgeous. I think between 50 and 100 million certainly would have been.
It's like they've got a big, massive screen next to the Eiffel, like in front of the Eiffel Tower, and that's not a small.
You can imagine quite a lot of like snobby French sort of like guys walking past going, why can't they just enjoy the art of the Eiffel Tower? Being really annoyed there's a TV screen on the front of it.
They enjoy the engineering.
Yeah.
We should say that Jerome Boateng going off in the second half did have an impact on Germany.
Good player. He would have missed the final, I think, anyway.
With his two strange kind of... Oh, it's that famous doctor, isn't he, on the left? Mr. Something Fart.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking
about? The fella who helped him off the field. On the right-hand side with the long hair. He's that... I can't remember his full name, but it's Dr. Something Fart, which is funny.
Yeah.
When you say the right-hand side, I thought, what, is it on the wing or something?
But he's the one who injects people with...
horse placenta.
Cockerel chests.
So there we go. Chests.
Cockerel chests. Like this chemical that's extracted from cockerel chests. And he saved the careers of so many footballers.
Okay, right.
I think Craig Bellamy went over there too.
Can you give us a minute? Is this real?
Is this like a sort of... The one time I bring half a fact to the table.
Yeah, that's right, it's half a fact. Yeah. And that's the problem.
Dr. Farts. So Dr. Farts is in.
You can't sit there and say, Dr. Fart, inject him with a cockerel chest, and then moan. Then we don't know what you're talking about.
Dr. Fart, inject him with the cockerel chest.
Is Dr. Fart, who injects people with cockerel chests, the one who lays it off your sweat gland?
Did any of this really happen?
He's not allowed near lasers.
I don't think it's called a chur. I think it's called a wattle, isn't it? Or is that just a turkey?
No, that's not a chest. That's the throat, though, isn't it?
The wattle.
The breast. It would be, the cockerel breast, wouldn't okay. it?
Wattle are you going on about, Peter?
Anyway, could he do that to Brattig and he could have been fit for the final if they'd made it?
All he needs is he's a cockerel chest away from the final.
Yeah.
Yogi Love said that his team played better and they're a superior side. You can see where he's going. But then he went on to say France succeeded in getting to the final. If you win 2-0, you deserve it. Make up your mind,
Yogi.
Make
your mind up, yeah. What he's trying to do is appease his own fans there, but also have a little bit, humble. A bit of credibility back, yeah.
Yeah, dearie me. We're going to talk about their opponents, Portugal, in the final after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Euros, everybody. Of course, France will play Portugal in Das Final. There might be a bit of a derby atmosphere because there's a lot of Portuguese people living in France, particularly in Paris.
I think Paris has got the largest focus of Portuguese people outside of Portugal, so it will be indeed a derby.
They sort of went from Portugal, went, oh, don't fancy Spain. It's pretty much the same country, and they just went up.
Spain's Wales, isn't it?
Yeah.
There we are. But before we talk more about the final, let's have some highlights, Luke Moore.
I've got a few highlights here if you guys want them.
Love them.
John Hissett on Twitter pointed out that England have beaten all four semi-finalists within the last year.
They have, yeah. They have.
Didn't matter.
But he goes on to say, looks like they try when it actually counts, unlike us. What have I got here? David Grieve. What I did actually, Mark, is I forgot to mention this to you. I put out there a couple of people and said to them, will you give us what you think will happen in the final, essentially, to make it a little bit more current. David Grieve says, the Premier League will show that it's the best league in the world when Dimitri Payet misses 2 free kicks, Giroud spurns 5 gilt-edged chances, and Antoine Griezmann bags at least a brace. That's likely to happen.
I think you can probably factor in a Laurent Koscielny sending off, maybe as well. Possibly own
now
goal.
Now, there's a man who looks like a cockerel.
Yeah, okay.
There's a man with a cockerel chest.
Yeah, that is a true cockerel chest. Yeah. Especially given his Frenchness.
Who scored the goals that got Portugal to that final? Looking at me like that. Ronaldo and Nani.
Yeah, not in the Premier League, are they?
Yeah, but they were made in the Premier League.
Such a little Englander.
When it was good.
Made in England.
Because I was thinking, well, Ronaldo and Nani, but they're not in the Premier League, so yeah. I didn't join 2 and 2 together.
That's all right.
Ollie Allen has joined 2 and 2 together by saying the game will go to penalties, but Clattenburg will stop Ronaldo from taking one, saying you're not stealing my limelight again, Cristiano. What a year! Well, what a year for the great man. Seriously, the greatest living Englishman. He's refereed the FA Cup final, despite David Ellery hating him. Not even Ellery could deny him. He's refereed the Champions League final.
Hang on, is he not? Because Ellery apparently didn't like him, and this he put Plattenberg down the pecking order.
Yeah.
Was he knocking on Ellery's
Cockle
door?
Shut again.
Yeah. Clattenburg knocking on the door. Can I clear off? Clear off.
And Tony Adams in the background going, cheat, cheat.
I love the thought of the referees getting together for a drink.
Seriously,
that'd be
Clatt.
Dry, wouldn't it?
Anyway, let Luke.
Well, Marcus and I, he will remain nameless, but Marcus and I actually know a guy whose job is to sort out refereeing at certain levels of football. And as a result, he goes to conferences quite a lot with referees. Oh, yeah, you know as well, Jim, right? But you don't, so you're not included in
that. Yeah,
Once again,
I've had the red card.
And he gave us a lot of analysis on different referees and what they're like. I told you before that Mark Riley's an absolute naughty one.
A naughty one as in, like, he gets up to naughty things, or he's just a bit of an idiot?
Just to confirm, Pete, the friend we're talking about is Danny Dyer.
you said a bit of an idiot. It's a sad indictment of the way my mind works. I couldn't think of a way of describing it without using a swear word.
Yeah.
He's just a passionate man. I think I'm right in saying Clattenburg's had the FA Cup final, the Champions League final, and now the European Championship final. It doesn't get better than him for that.
Yeah, it's European Cup / Champions League final, it not being bothered by an English team anytime soon. The Euro 2016 final, not being bothered by an English team anytime soon. It's not going to happen.
So you're saying he's a shoe-in, basically?
Yeah, basically.
When you think about that, it's amazing English teams got to the FA Cup final.
But actually, had Wales got to the final, Clattenburg wouldn't have got it.
That's true.
So it's very good of Wales and Chris Coleman to think
to step aside.
To look at the bigger picture.
To see the bigger picture, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll finish off the highlights.
Is Clattenburg going to win the Ballon d'Or, Luke?
He should. Well, he deserves it. He's a stand-up. He's a stand-up candidate for me. One more here from Andre Moynihan, who says, my prediction is Ronaldo to give Portugal some early hope with the goal, but then France score two in the second half, and Messi laughs so hard from cell block F that it wakes up big Hector in cell block E, who knocks Messi out in the yard in the morning. I should point out to Andre at this point, Messi's not actually going to jail.
No.
But thanks very much for getting involved.
Yeah. Legally, he deserves it, though.
Yeah. Well, that's
not actionable. That's been my phrase for the past few weeks.
That's not actionable.
Yeah. Not only on the podcast. Just walking around in your life.
Punches someone. That's not actionable. Taking a slash in the street. That's not actionable.
You may have been handcuffed, sir.
Just throwing yourself through a restaurant window. Not actionable.
I may be pouring dog dirt through this businessman's letterbox. Not actionable.
Finding a piece of glass in your burger, subsequently going up to the waiter. Actionable.
Thank you. I demand some action.
Finally actionable.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the final.
Should we? Cristiano Ronaldo could break Michel Platini's record in Paris.
That would be hilarious.
How about that would be two
but he's done it in about four times the amount of games, though, surely.
Yeah, that's not going to matter to either of them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
A record is a record, mate.
Platini's not allowed an opinion on it because that counts as a football activity.
Platini's not even allowed to know about
it. He's not allowed to think about it.
He's in a cell at the moment, just taped up, covered in mattresses, not allowed to think.
Being injected every hour with cockerel chests. But Portugal are 15-4 to win the game in 90 minutes with Bet365, so £10, that returns you £47.50. And just to finish that off, France are evens to win the game in 90 minutes, so they're favourites, of course. Mm. And £10 on them with Bet365 returns you £20, including your stake. So the market, and I think most of us here, if not all of us here, fancy France to be the favourites for it.
France beat Portugal, didn't they, with that last-minute Zidane penalty in the semi-final in 2000, was it, when Portugal had about three men sent off right at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Abel Xavier was adjudged to have handballed.
Probably a young Pepe and Bruno Alves, I imagine, as well.
Abel Xavier, great to hear his name. Portugal, of course, had the last laugh by being humiliated in the final in their own turf by Greece 4 years later.
That's right.
Because
the second time in that tournament, Greece beat them.
The opening game, they lost 2-1, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then the only way you can meet again is in the final, isn't it? That was the case in that tournament. And Greece actually, we forget this, but they scraped 3-1-0 to get to that final. Just scraped 1-0 over the.
You didn't describe Spain's 2010 World Cup winners scrapey, did you?
No, because they didn't.
All 1-0s, Jim.
It was slick. It was not scrapey.
Would it be nice to perhaps even contemplate great that Cristiano Ronaldo to sort of inspire his team to an international trophy for the first time in, well, the first time ever, presumably, at top level. And him being such a good player, that would be a nice fitting end to
it. It would, actually, because that's one of the things that's hung over Ronaldo a little
and
bit.
And Messi,
absolutely. But with Messi, it's a team where traditionally you would expect them to have a chance in pretty much everything they enter, whereas Portugal was sort of written off unfairly, as we've seen from their record. They've actually been in a lot of semis and finals fairly recently, whatnot.
I think most people think of Portugal as perhaps, I know it's unfair to say, but it's like a second tier nation.
Absolutely that. And yeah, so I think we've all assumed that maybe Ronaldo probably wouldn't ever win anything at international level. So if he does win something, you're absolutely right, it would be fitting. And it would be great as well. He absolutely deserves it.
It would be phenomenal if he did it against the host nation, but broke Platini's record in Paris. That would be the most Ronaldo thing, isn't it?
We were talking yesterday about how Ronaldo is a little bit like Maradona in that he needs to feel that the odds are against him and that he has something to prove. And it's not just winning for himself, it's winning against another thing. And all of those things will be in his mind, and they combine to actually make it the perfect setting to get the best out of him.
But I think you're right, but I think they slightly differ because Maradona also loves to be loved.
Of course. Maradona slightly, at least, differs from every other being on the planet.
Whereas Ronaldo, he would love that so much, as I say, to beat the host nation in their own capital city, top off. There's the body. And
there's the body.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be furious he's even got to play with a shirt on. It's such a big off. Moment. He can't top
body paint. He should have body paint.
Yeah. Top off, there's the body. Not actionable.
We've heard that sentence before.
It's in a library, I found out. The way that Portugal have played this tournament, they're playing ugly. Historically, they've always been quite an attractive team at times, but they've never got anywhere. So it's kind of like, well, if you can win ugly and win, I just want the medal.
It is different the way Santos has got them set up, and it has been effective because they're there. They beat a Croatia side who are better than them.
Yeah.
They beat a very difficult Polish side.
If they stink up the final, I am not going to be happy.
I don't think they stunk up the semi. I think they executed their game plan very well, and I think against France, they know. I mean, I know
they
what you're saying,
Pete. Up the group stage,
but Pete, they know France are a better team than them, so there's every chance they will.
But they have to go for it, though, can't they? They can't just sit back because chances are France are going to nick a goal.
Well, I think Pete's right there because it is a different type of game for Portugal. They are distinctly the second best side in this match, which is perhaps the first time in this tournament so far. They've had not a bad running. Croatia was the tricky one because Croatia were probably the best team in the first round. But Croatia against Portugal is still a fairly even game, certainly psychologically. So that was the only one, really, that against Poland. Like I say, it was a decent Polish side. They were well organised, but Portugal, towards the end of the game, probably had a little bit more and showed a little bit more ambition. In all their group games, they were the better side, Portugal, and obviously didn't win any of them. It was only against Wales, actually, which was their best performance.
Yeah.
Where they gave Wales a bit of respect, but they did sort of play like they were the better side. Mm. Against France, this is an interesting one. Pepe should be back in the side because, it will either be, you know, him or Bruno Alves, a brute for a brute, as we said, and partnering José Font. So that'll be very interesting indeed to see how they line up. But you're right, do they try and contain France? I mean, they've got quite a compact and, in Portuguese terms, quite an industrious midfield, rather than, as you say, the playmakers, you know, João Martini, who's a little bit out of sorts. He's not perhaps the player he was when he was, I think it was at Porto in Monaco. He hasn't done so well, but they're not the creative, free-flowing and in terms of footballing ability, attractive midfield that they've been. So I think they'll try and just contain France.
Well, Renato Sanches in there.
Yeah, but he's still quite industrious. You know,
I think just to expand on that slightly, I think they'll just be well drilled. They'll do the jobs they need to do. They'll try and keep Griezmann quiet. They'll try and keep Pogba quiet. They'll try and keep Payet quiet. And they'll rely on the combination of Ronaldo and Nani with Renato Sanches, who is a combination of what both of you are saying there, an industrious but driving forward. He can pull a team forward type player and hope that's enough. I suspect it probably won't be enough, but you never know. I mean, you never know.
It's quite strange the way they play Ronaldo as an old... Well, not an old-fashioned number nine. That's not quite true, because the way he sort of pulls out wide and stuff. But he really is a striker for them. Often when you talk about players like Ronaldo, and even Messi as well, and Neymar, you kind of describe them as forwards, because winger is not quite accurate. Striker's obviously not quite accurate.
But we said this a while back with Bale, if you remember, a few years ago. Whoever takes over Wales, and I think it ended up being Gary Speed at that point... I think he needs to. We think he needs to move Barron to the middle, and essentially he's their best player. Him and Ramsey, their best players. They need to be in a position where they can affect the game the most, regardless of where their best position is personally for a team like Wales. And it's the same with Ronaldo at Portugal. Yeah. They're in a situation now, probably a bit of a transitional period, where they've got some nice, good young players coming through, like Sanchez and Guerrero. But ultimately, they're not a fantastic team. They're not Luis Figo, Rui Costa, what we used to maybe 10 or so years ago, whatever it was. So what they need to do is get Ronaldo in a position where he can affect the game and build the team around that. Yeah. And they found, I don't know if they've stumbled across it, but they've certainly found this link-up thing with Nani, who's also got a move, by the way, hasn't he? He moved to Spain now from playing in Turkey. And they've found a little combination there which works nicely. And you're right, Mark, it's good to see Ronaldo playing there because it's where he can affect the game the most.
But I do think sometimes, like with Bale, Bale still is a forward. He's still, like an attacker midfielder, whereas Ronaldo is very much a striker. They're putting crosses in, trying to get him on the end of them. You know, it is quite
the greatest header of the ball in the competition, though. To be fair,
I'm not
in the world. A great plan.
No, I'm not saying they're stupid doing that. I'm agreeing with what Luke's saying, the way they've utilised him. But it is. I'd have thought that Ronaldo, he's not isolated up there. But a player like him, what he does for Real Madrid, sometimes he goes back into midfield, gets the ball, drives forward and pings him in from 25 yards and so on. He plays a slightly different role for Portugal, and I'm surprised that he has not moaned about that.
Well, I don't know, because obviously he gets all the limelight. It does work, so if it's working, he's happy. And yeah, he probably did moan. But it's good as well for Portugal, because it solved their sort of weird age-old problem of just, for some reason, not really being able to produce centre-forwards.
True.
It's been a bizarre thing in their international history, where even Pauleta, who's scored a hell of a lot of goals for them, he did it in friendlies a lot, and it didn't quite, light up tournaments where you would maybe hope he would. And it's fixed that, and it's got the best out of Ronaldo, so it's actually Santos has to take some credit there.
It's a fair point, Jim. It's a fascinating encounter we've got in
it is, isn't it? It's
final.
A good final.
I think I agree wholeheartedly. Before we have some emails, should we talk about the latest on the England managerial position?
We've got to do our bet of the show as well.
We were going to do that after.
England manager, fine. Every single and any candidate that gets the job won't succeed. And we'll be doing the same thing in 2 years' time, if we do indeed qualify.
Yeah. Well, did you see that Bielsa took the job at Lazio on the 6th of July, and now on the 8th of July has resigned. Presumably his work was done.
Neil Gibbons, the guy who co-wrote Alan Partridge, said that he did a great tweet today. He said, it was the equivalent of when Larry David famously went on stage to do a stand-up set, took one look at the audience and went, nah. Just walked off.
No, it's like Homer Simpson in that kind of boudoir where he
Oh, that's Bart Simpson.
Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah.
One of the Simpsons.
Yeah.
So anyway.
What is the Simpsons?
Bills are for England?
Yeah, I was going to say, have the FA tapped him up?
Yeah.
They should do.
Is the ink dry on the contract yet, Marcelo? Can you bring your cool box on your VHS videos over here?
He sounds like a Cockney man, if you push it a little bit.
I'd like to see the crazed granddad be in the shortlist.
Oh, Cannonball Lee.
He's got experience. If you can handle tough personalities.
Well, according to reports,
he won't hurt his own.
According to reports, the process of finding.
That's all we want from them, really. Yeah, isn't it?
Loves his mum.
Did a lot for the area.
Yeah. Loves his mum.
The England team very much hurt their own.
and to be fair, if we go to penalties, we'll be all right, because he came here for a shootout. According to...
As you well know, it's a penalty competition.
Okay. Yeah. I came here for a penalty competition. According to reports, the process of finding Hodgson's successor has begun. Various people have been called into meetings with the FA to give their opinions on how to improve the national team. So wait by the phone, one of you.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp was called in to be asked his opinion, but according to The Guardian, old Redders won't be considered as a candidate to take the job on a permanent basis.
How insulting is that?
I don't like the fact they've said on a permanent basis.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. There's your clue.
Is it ever on a permanent basis?
Yeah.
No.
Are they hedging their bets there a little bit? So it might happen. If it happens, it's going to be horrible.
Well, you want me to do it permanently?
Not with my niece.
Well, the reports also suggest that Roberto Mancini might be interested.
I saw that. I don't think he'd be very good either.
No.
Well, but chiefly because I don't think anybody
would. I was about to say, there really isn't.
Yeah, you're really down on the whole position, aren't you? Yeah. Let's just not have one.
Oh, it used to be back in the day. Isn't it Walter Winterbottom who was the first England manager? Before that, the team was decided by committee.
Sounds just get like a big computer. Bertha from Lovely Bertha, the TV show.
I'm up for that, yeah.
Lovely Bertha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Charlie Fairhead from Casualty.
Yeah. Oh, we did this last time, didn't we? Yeah, good. Yeah.
Dominic Cooper.
Dominic Cooper.
Tony, no.
The woman who's just left Holmes under the hammer. Can't remember her name.
Yeah. She'll do. Let's have a bet of the show.
Oh, yeah, bet of the show. You wanted a bet of the show now, dear. Now yes. I've bored you into it. Bet of the show is we think the final may well be decided in extra time.
Mm.
And if it is decided in extra time by either side, Bet365 will be paying out 6-1 on that eventuality. So £50 on that returns you £350, including your stake. But you must be over the age of 18 to bet, of course, and you please should gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, please visit the following website.
GambleAware.co.uk.
Actionable.
We get one more of these in the next shot, and then we're going to never do gambleaware.co.uk like that again.
Okay, right, we can do it another way. You let's talk about it. Put
not
a meeting
actionable.
In, mate. Have however you want. Put a meeting in. Don't do it in front of the listeners.
Do we have an email or two?
Pete, we do have an email.
That's your
right. That's my bag. Thank you very much. Hello to Ewan, who says, well, quite unequivocally, he's not a big fan of Chris Coleman.
So he's just like, off the ramble then. What are you emailing for?
No, people normally shout that in the street. They don't email it in.
I thought I'd send you a quick email regarding the complete farce of Chris Coleman being linked to, in inverted commas, top jobs. When Coleman was asked about the England job, I didn't know whether to
not
laugh.
Not a
or...
top job.
I didn't know where to laugh or cry. He spent 2.5 seasons at my team, Coventry. During these 2.5 years, Coleman had players such as Kieran Westwood, Scott Dan, Aaron Gunnarsson, Jack Cork, and also Patrick Van Aanholt, as well as a young Callum Wilson at his disposal. Yet Coleman could only manage 21st, 17th, and 19th in the championship with such a squad. Coleman wasted £1.2 million on Freddie Eastwood and was reported by the BBC as saying he was not interested in Wales in regard to Eastwood's fitness for the national team. Coleman is not the technical genius he's being made out to be. I don't think he is being made out to be a technical genius.
Also, he can improve at his job as the years go by.
I think you suggest maybe he has.
But then he goes on to mention Freddie Eastwood again. I think he's just angry about Freddie Eastwood, to be honest.
What's the name of the emailer?
Ewan.
Ewan, would you like the England job?
You've got the passion for it.
Yeah.
What about that dog that won Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, that was two dogs there, wasn't it?
Right.
It was changed. There was a conspiracy around that.
And two dogs then.
Yeah. And we'll call the dog Pickles and it will get
find
us the World Cup.
Find the World Cup.
Alistair in Glasgow says, hello chaps, highlights from the Berlin fan park for the semi-final, the absolute peak of shit advertising tie-ins as the German squad is announced to tens of thousands of fans by placing Coke cans with the players' faces onto a Coke-sponsored tactics board. Embarrassing. Amazing atmosphere despite the result. When we were in World Cup 2012, was it?
2010.
There literally
wasn't
one in
2010. Shut up. Shut your fat,
stupid mouth. Come on.
2010 in Johannesburg.
That was nearly actionable.
The fan park was a lot of fun.
It was the
best place to watch the football.
The beers were very cheap.
Do you still
have
that FIFA fleece?
I do still have that FIFA fleece. And probably
what's an appropriate
as well.
Piece of clothing?
They were also selling big slabs of cans of beer, I think for about the equivalent of £10. Yeah. Something like that. It was very, very good.
Yeah, but now it would be about £15.
Yeah, it would be.
The pound is news, that's strong. Yeah.
It was worth it until two of our party got their cameras next.
That's right, yeah.
Then they were down on the deal. Will Frost says, was listening to the show this morning on my drive to work and was shouting out, Robson Carnu, get what you want, to myself during your increasingly lame Rolling Stone puns.
Well, that is the lamest one I've heard yet. I didn't even know what that one was.
Robson Carnu, get what you want.
Yeah, again. Bad.
You can't always get what you want.
I didn't know what you meant until you said the word Rolling Stone, did you?
Get what you want.
No,
Jim, kind of works.
No.
Not having it. Yeah. Never mind.
It's a slow email week, obviously. That's making it.
Well, to be fair, in between the last short and this short, it's been about 10 hours.
I only had about 150,000 emails then. Normally it's way more than that.
If you want to get in touch, short at thefootballramble.com.
There it is. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble. You're responsible at 365. We're back late on Sunday night after the final.
Oh, yeah, with the announcement of our predictions. And with any of you guys, per chance, don't have to confirm or deny, but just putting this out there, would you perhaps have touted Antoine Griezmann as your player of the tournament?
I can't do this.
Well, we didn't actually
do
put
this.
Down player.
Oh, did we?
Didn't put player
what
of the tournament. So that was a waste of...
We did Golden Boot. So
did Golden Boot.
Yours with a coconut.
A mixed bag is mine.
I think quickly, as well, we have to preview the third place playoff show. Yeah. There is no one.
There isn't one doing
the third place playoff.
No, it's not happening.
No.
Excellent. Right, we're back on Sunday night. We'll see you then, lovelies. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Cockerel tits.
Yeah. Time to go.
Time to go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.